Mishnah in Arik Dachim says the Chachan of Chachanim should drink out the Kesef on Pesach night. And the Rashbam quotes different reasons from the Medrash, from the Yishalmi, to why the Chachanim want to drink out the Kesef. So one of the reasons is based on the test in the beginning of Pashas Ba'era that the Dalad and Mishnah Shal Ge'ula are here. And the Midrash of God doesn't say that in the Shana Shal Ge'ula. The Nesha Chachman points out that in the Midrash of God says Dalad Ge'ula. The Nesha Chachman points out that there are three parts to the Ge'ula. It's not that the Ge'ula is described, or Hesesu, the part of the Gospel, the Vakhti. It's not that these are just repetition, a description of the same Yitzhiyas and Shana, four different Shana, these are four different aspects of the Yitzhiyas and Shana. And let's actually discuss why the Chachamim run in the sack in four cases, why one is in the sack in the fifth case, because he really has five parts to the Gula. So they say, come out of her essence and the session is getting ready to say, sure, etc. So why shouldn't there be five cases? It's a big topic in Rabbi Mendel Kasher's Haggadah Shlomo on his farm. He wrote a lot, carefully though. He wrote a lot about the first time issue, says in the Gemara and Abit Sechem, the Gebraith, and then he says, Yachar, and another time I'm discussing the issue of the fifth case. Sometimes I'm saying that it's optional, other years in time that it's obligatory. The research in India is five cases. No one talks about six cases, no one talks about three cases. Other cases everybody knows. And the fifth case is an issue about in the different cases exactly what the Talmud has to say about it. So there is some kind of an issue of the fifth case. It's apparently based on, according to this, but it's based on the Dalad Gula, the Dalad Hashem Shal Gula. So it's based on the fifth lesson of Gula, the fifth aspect, namely the Hadesi and Kanal Ha'arif. One of the big Rabbanim in Europe, Rabban Levine, who was killed by the Nazis, but the grandfather of Rabban Levine teaches here, that's my cousin, Rabban Levine. So Rabban Levine, he's not related. I'm related to Rabban Levine to his mother, not to his father. So his grandfather wrote in his paper in Hadrash Shehoiyin an interesting comment. Why went the Chachamim Meshachim Kosh Chamishi as a chiyuv? So he suggests that maybe the Dalad Gula took place already, and we were none of them then. The Hoteshi, the Salt of the Altar, the Lakhati Eshim Yiliyom, all of those already took place, and we were none of them. The Hadeshi Eshim, El Ha'oreth, Hashem Eshash Yisiyadi, that took place, but from day number one, it was already determined that they were going to be kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. Like when it's 2 points out and it's Bira Chumash, based on Epsikim and Chester and Tulim, that it was already known in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu that after Bnei Yisrael would come into Eretz Yisrael, they would be chased out, they would be sent into Golis. So he still hasn't said, Chayami, Moshe Rabbeinu, what do you call her? And that's perfect. He says it then. Where did the Nabi Yechester and where did Deborah Malk get that? That it says in Tulim. That already, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they knew that they would be going to chased out of Eretz Yisrael. So, you know, he's even talking to the Prussians, that there will be a Golos and the Jews will be scattered all over the world. That's the chat in the Prussians, that's in English. The Mother Flood is Kalharet is in English. And at that time, there will be Kvod Hashem all over the world by the fact that the Jews will be living all over. That's assuming that the Jews observe the Mitzvah Kalharet and be a Kvod Hashem or be a Kvod Shema. The Jews are the biggest criminals and the gangsters and the Rishonim, and there won't be any mother for these Kalharis. But on the assumption that the Jews will be sent into Golis and the practice of terror, that that will be mother for these Kalharis. So the Haftach of the Hadesi Eshim Al-Horis from day number, not at this time, it wasn't yet determined, but later, when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, it was already known at that time that they were going to be sent out. And who had the Nami when they returned to Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of the opinion by Hashem, it was already known in advance from the Vuat Shlomo HaMelech that the second Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed and that there will be a Golus following the Chuvim Bayis Sheni. Because Shlomo HaMelech said that in Chol Mohi Nivna Aleha Ki Espes in Delos in Natsu Aleha Lu Aforez in Shir Ashir. So the man Yumer, the end of the first prayer time is on that passage in Yalut Achomo. Before the Bnei Yisrael would go together to do the second Beis HaMikdash, then living all that year's castle, then the Beis HaMikdash, the second Beis HaMikdash would be like one made of metal, just like metal. And I reckon Sholeshol doesn't rot away, say to the second Beis HaMikdash, will not rot, and it will be the ultimate Beis HaMikdash. And then we'll see, if hardly anybody will show up, then that's all the Ruachar is, and the second Beis HaMikdash should be like a wooden hut, so just like wood. I reckon Sholeshol, say to the second Beis HaMikdash, will rot away and will be destroyed. So they, when they did the second Beis HaMikdash, they saw that hardly anybody showed up. The Gemara says in the first place in Brachos, that it says, Al Yad Ram Hashem, Al Yad Ram Zikhan Yisro. So they will cross over the Yavin. So why does it say twice? Ayavram Hashem, Ayavram Hashem Yisra. So the Gemara says that that when Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Yisrael said at that time, Ayavah twice, they were referring to the two times that Bnei Yisrael had crossed over the Yarden, the two times that they were entering into Eretz Yisrael. The first time they made Moshe Rabbeinu, they showed them in, whatever the program originally was, that Bnei Yisrael was going to cross over the Yarden too, right after Kriyas Yom Tov. And then because of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were delayed for 40 years. And then because of the Chet of Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, so they were punished that they had a guy in the Midbar, and wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu, it was Yeshua who took the nation over. So originally they said, Ayavram Hashem, they were talking about the Knesset Lord. And then they said, they didn't understand the Shas Maish, what they were talking about, Midbar, Ayavram Hashem, Ayavram, Zikanisa, that was referring to the second Knesset Lord. So they're already assuming, this Russian Ayavram twice is assuming that the Knesset Lord will not be an ultimate, not be an everlasting one, that there will be a Golus, a Chubin and a Golus, and they will have to enter Eretz Yisrael a second time. And on the assumption that they'll enter a second time, so the Gemara says, Lim Hoyu, Shatiyasa Lahem Nisim, they really deserve Nisim in a place, it should be such a spectacular Knesset Lord, the second time in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, just like they had in the first time, in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, that they were conquering all the land, and none of the Jewish soldiers were killed, and they were Nisim to Kriyas Yom Tov, and everything was a Malam and a Tera. So that's why it says, Ayavah, that they deserve that the Knesset Shniyah, B'nai Yeshua ben Nun, should be in the same way as the Knesset Rishon, B'nai, the Knesset Shniyah, B'nai Ezra Nehemiah, should be in the same fashion with the Nisman of Lois, the same way that the Knesset Rishon was B'nai Yeshua ben Nun. Ela Shigam Nehemachet, because the sin, what was the sin? So the Pesachim did the Pesachim Shah, that no one showed up. When they were entering there to serve the second time, hardly anybody showed up. After they talked, there was hardly anybody. The whole purpose of going to Eretz Yisrael the second time was to build the Beis HaMikdash in order to bring Korban. So Ezra looked around as the people were halfway, the people had already come halfway to Eretz Yisrael. He looked around and said, there weren't enough Levim to man the Beis HaMikdash. He told everybody to stay where they are. He went back to Bava in order to schlep Levim. It was like pulling teeth. You had to go schlep more Levim. And that's why Ezra promised the Salvin. He penalized the Levim that they should give a nice solution to the Kohanim. And Maran Tzibis discusses the nature of that knot. Maran Tzibis says that there was such a knot, and the position is not so clear. The Tzibis explains where did the Gemara see it in the position of Ezra. That the Gemara interprets, the Gemara had a historical tradition, the Gemara interprets the position of Ezra like that. The position did say there weren't enough Levine, and it says Levine. So it's on the base on English, and he had to go back to get more Levine, but it doesn't, that says in the position of the Pharisee, but it doesn't say the Pharisee that he penalized the Levine, to give away the my solution to the Kohanim. That doesn't say. The case is sure, it's how the Gemara say that in the book. The Gemara says, because God, Lahem Achet, because they didn't all go up together in the beginning of Bai Sheni, that's why there's going to have to be a Golus Shmiya and a Gula Ha'atidah. There'll have to be a third Beis HaMikdash. And we assume that that's it. Rambam Achim says that that's it. There's not going to be, a third Korban Beis HaMikdash and a third Golus. That's going to be it. So that's what Abba Levine suggests in the Sefer, that the reason why the Chachamim would ever misak in the Teis Chamishi is because they raised the Eskanel Ha'aretz from the time they entered Eretz Yisrael in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. They already knew in advance in the middle of the travelings in the Midbar that this is not going to be the ultimate Knesset Lord. And when they entered Eretz Yisrael the second time in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, they also knew. They already heard from Yishlam HaMelech in Israel. In Belis and Yisrael HaAliyah Ha'aretz, it's going to be Yashlach HaAliyah. Then it's going to be like Ha'aretz of Sholeh, they'll be like this. That the second Beis HaMikdash will be doomed to destruction, and the whole period of history will end in a Golus and a Korban and a Golus. So the Eretz Yisrael HaAretz, although it was partially fulfilled, the Bnei Yeshua ben Nun, the Bnei Ezra Nehemiah, wasn't fully fulfilled yet. So Lasi Lover, that's what the Reish Lakish suggests. Lasi Lover, the Chachamim will probably misak in the Beis HaMikdash l'chol ader, as a chayva. It won't be a machlech zakat and a Chachamim and different gears what the story is. Lasi Lover should be like that. That's his suggestion on the pasuk of the Hedet Yes Hamila, the Hedet Yes Hamel Haaretz. And the pasuk continues, and Asati Yes Alechem Mo'i Yashor Ami Hashem. That is, instead of giving to the Jewish people as Mo'i Yashor, instead of saying Yishor, it says Mo'i Yashor. The same appears in Chumash Dvar, in Parashat Yevalon HaMoshe, Mo'i Yashor Ki Hilas Yankov, that the Torah is a Mo'i Yashor, it's not a Yerusha. The Yerushalmi comments on the Lashon Mo'i Yashor as opposed to Yerusha, that my Russia means that it's not as strong as the Yerusha. The Yerusha means that my rich uncle dies and I can do whatever I want. And the law says it's not an inheritance, it's a heritage, something that I have to transmit to the next generation. The Shaman says that my Russia means that I'm not a full body, not 100% full body. So the Pesukim seem to be implying, the Shaman doesn't speak about this, the Shaman just says that that's the difference between the word Yerusha and my Russia. So it's me, of course, that I'm a Pesuk imperative and not emotion. The Shaman is coming. But what my Russia means is that you're not as strong and balabot over what you inherit as you would have been if it would have said Yerusha. So what is the significance of the word my Russia? So the Pashtus is that that both by Torah and by Eretz Yisrael, it's not really a Yerusha. Yerusha means that the rich uncle dies and it leaves me $50 million. And if I'm a Meshuggah, I can go squander the money away. I can bet on the horses. I can gamble it away. I can invest. I can put it away in my salami and put the salami in the refrigerator. Whatever the guy wants to do with the money, he can do it. You can pay, do whatever you want. But a Meyrusha means that you are given is the Yerusha. Yerusha is Bal Kochai. That's the only kingdom moment that you get Bal Kochai is Yerusha. All other Matanas has to be Nigaita. If you don't agree to accept the gift, so there can't be Matanas for you Bal Kochai. But Yerusha you get even Bal Kochai, even if you don't want it. You get it. If you don't like it after you got it already, so then you have to be able to be Matanas. So you can't say, I don't want it, and therefore you don't get it. You get it whether you like it or not. And then later on you can dump it if you choose to. But Meyrusha means that you get it even Bal Kochai, and you are not a Balabas to do whatever you want. You have to transmit it in its entirety to the next generation. You have no right to slip away parts from the Torah and chop off things. Sometimes the Chachamim had in a certain sense chop off. The Shech Yachacham like a dog and I told you shave the Al-Kassah, sometimes even the Kumar. Sometimes the Hayrah Shalom is the Milfir, or sometimes even the Darius. They had to make certain Takonis. But that's for the Kiyam HaTorah. The tool is very human. Sometimes they had for the Tikkun of Klal Yisrael, the secret of the Jews would be more observant, in order to enforce Shmir Shabbos. So they had to do away sometimes with Kiyah Shaita or Hashem Shalom to Shabbos. They had to do away with Mithila Shlul or Hashem Shalom to Shabbos. Here and there they had to touch up a little bit. The Dina HaTorah had Rosh Shalom and Mithila Shlul, so sometimes with Darius. But in principle, the Chlalusa, they had no right to chop off sections of the Torah, and they had no right to chop off sections of the Eretz Yisrael. As so is ours, as a Meyrusha, as opposed to Yerusha. We are not the Balabasim to give away. Meshe Chachma points out that in Parsha Shmos, we read the way after the Shdoch who sends Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to Paro Melech Mitzrayim, to speak to Bnei Yisrael, to let them go. And Moshe Rabbeinu every day refuses to go for 7 days. Rashi thinks that 7 days he has a debate with the Baruch Hashem. And the Baruch Hashem tells him he's going to punish him for not going. And in today's schedule, which was a while after, not just a week after Parsha Shema, it was quite a while after. He goes to Paro, goes to Sodom and Yisrael, goes to Paro. There's a whole Hishtal Shema for them. So way later, you see in today's study, HaKadosh Baruch Hu again sends Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to Paro, and Moshe Rabbeinu again refuses. V'gabar Hashem Moshe Rabbeinu, v'bod abir ha-Paro melech Mitzrayim, shalach et b'nei Yisrael mi'atzeh, v'gabar Moshe b'fnei Hashem Rabbeinu, heim b'nei Yisrael Hashem v'ela, v'yech yishnei mi'Paro, v'ani ha'ra'al s'fosan. So he's not going to listen, he doesn't want to go. But the Medrash has a machlokes on this week's study whether Moshe Rabbeinu was punished for refusing or not. Usually it seems like the opinion that he was not punished. Unless he said that Rashi took that medrash that he was punished. Why does he say Halevi? Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to be a Kohen and Aaron was supposed to be the Levi. But now that you see that you keep on refusing to go do the shlichus, that's why his brother says he's going to punish Moshe Rabbeinu. He's going to make Moshe Rabbeinu the Levi. His descendants will be Levian and Aaron will be the Kohen. And in this week's schedule, we usually assume, because Rashi didn't tell the other opinion if he matters. Based on Rashi, we assume that he wasn't punished for refusing. So how come he wasn't punished, and how come he does the same other? He already should have known from Parsha Shmos that it's wrong to refuse to live in the Nevuah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why does he continue to refuse? So the Meshech Chochma has a very interesting comment. But the Meshech Chochma doesn't explain the whole verse. He is assuming that you know what the Biskirot said. Chachman seems that you know what Avelvela said over here. The Pesach says right after. Vaydabe Hashem and Moshe v'Aaron v'Tzaveinu b'nei Yisrael v'Tzaveinu b'nei Yisrael v'Tzaveinu b'nei Yisrael v'Tzaveinu b'nei Yisrael v'Tzaveinu b'nei. What does this refer to? V'Tzaveinu. Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah, Tzivu Aleihem, the Zohar commanded Moshe and Aaron, Lahanhigo Menachas, Belid Balosom. That since they're Manhigim of Kali Yisrael, they should take it easy. The Jewish people are troublemakers, Amshayotis, Avonim, Achshonim. But Manhig of the Jewish people has to be charged by Tzavon and Yisrael, that he has to give the Jewish people a break, they have to take it easy. So apparently at this time, and then the passage continues, Eile Rashi Beis Avosim B'nei Yuvim B'chor B'nei Shimon, and so Eile Shmoz B'nei Levi Sol Dosom, Rashi Kors Mitoch Shehus Kukliyat Ha'as Shifu Shalevi Ad Moshe V'Yaron. Since the Torah had to write the Yichas, the Torah wanted to write the Yichas of Moshe and Aaron, so the Torah went ahead to write the whole Yichas of the Shvatim until Levi, Yuvim Shimon Levi, and then it stopped. Rashi doesn't explain why is Mitoch Shehus Kukliyat Ha'as Shifu Shalevi Ad Moshe V'Yaron. Why do we have to write the Yichas of Moshe and Aaron? We already know it from before. In Parashat Shmos, we already know the Yichas. If you were paying attention to all the Parshas HaShavuot from the beginning of Chumash till Shmos, we already know who Moshe and Aaron was. Why do we have to review again? Tzach Shehuska Kliyachas Hashif V'Shalevi Ad Moshe V'Yaron. So therefore, Agav, so you start off Reuven Shem Levi and then you stop. Let's say you push the button on the computer till it spells out Reuven Shem Levi, then you stop. Stop there. What do you need Levi for? You know, we already know who he was. So that Agav will explain that at this time, Moshe Rabbeinu was Moshe and Aaron, by Tzavnu and Israel, they were appointed to a position of Torah and Rabbanim. And the Zini is Sain Tosh Melech HaMelech, the case of Moshe and Gemara, say Sain Tosh and Kalmasim is the Mashma. That's the Gemara in Perek Mishnah Chalit in the end of the Yivam. It's like when you appoint a Melech, or if you appoint a president of a shul, or you appoint a president of an organization, whatever, Allah says, Mikael Rachach Tosh Melech HaMelech, or Sifu Lech Hishnachu Yashubar Tichuhu, you have to appoint one who is a miyuchas. You're not permitted, the Gemara says, you're not permitted to appoint a geir, or one who lacks the yichas, there are a group of people who have a better yichas than he has. If you have a club of geirim, a Thursday afternoon, they have all the clubs. If they have a club of geirim, so they can appoint a geir as the president of the club of geirim. A geir can have a tzura, or other geirim. And if you have a Canadian club, or whatever, you have the communist club, whatever club you have here, I don't so they have a gay club in the Sheedy University. That's what the people attack, they have a gay club, whatever. So you're not permitted to appoint a gear. If the other people are not gear, so you're not permitted to appoint a gear. Is it in the gay club? Okay, so in Einstein, we should tell them that they're not permitted to appoint a gear as the president or the gay. Okay. Good. So if you have Jews, so you're not permitted to appoint a gear as the others who are not gear. That's so. See, the Torah wants to write the Shifta Shaleda and Moshe V'Yaron. The Torah wants to write. Who are Moshe V'Yaron? So once they are, who are Moshe V'Yaron? They are Miyuchasim. In order to explain, how could we appoint them? By Tzavna B'nai Yisrael, the power of Hashem. They are being appointed now to a position of Tzororot. And Gedulah, so we have to say that they are Hashem Miyuchasim. So that's why he tells like the whole Yichas. And Meshach Chachma explains that in the high time, he doesn't spell out the whole thing. He assumes that he knows this already. That in Parshish Ve'era, it's not Tam HaKadosh Baruch Hu sending Moshe V'Yaron to deliver a message to Paro. He's appointing them to a position of Manhigi Hador, Manhigi Klal Yisrael. So that's why the messenger says, that's why in Parshish Mois, Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't appointed as to any position of Tzvara and Rabban. So he's just sent to do a mitzvah, to deliver a message to Nason, to deliver a message to Aaron. So if he refused to do the Tzvara of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he deserved to be punished. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do a mitzvah, it's just to run to do the mitzvah. So in Parshish Ve'eret, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appoints him, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu done. Appoints you to a position of Tzvara in Gedulah, so he's put Zerach Eretz requires that you should refuse. He said, you get someone else instead. That's what the Meshech Chachma points out. The halacha is like that in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch. When they call you up to an aliyah, they're not supposed to refuse, because an aliyah is not considered a position, they haven't appointed you to a position of Tzvara in Rabban. If they ask you to serve as the Shleich HaTzibur, so we learned the Mishnah Berurah, the Shleich HaTzibur is the Shliach. That's a position of Tzvara in Gedulah. So the Shleich HaTzibur is considered a position of Tzvara and Gedulah over the rest of the Tzibur. So that's what the Derech Eretz requires, that the fellowship be true. We learned in Mishnah Berurah that Mishnah Berurah quotes in the Prima Gaudim that a Ger, we discussed it, that a Ger is permitted to serve as a Shleich Tzibur for the Kohol. Even though the rest of the Kohol are not Ger. So what was the Chiddush? So the Chiddush was that it says that a Ger is that a gear can say, I became a little bit of a statement. Machlok is not Hanan, but he has to change the Nusach HaBracha, and that's what he talks, and he doesn't have to change the Nusach HaBracha. He says, Rekena, 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 he doesn't have to say Rekena, Rekena, Rekena. That's what the Mechaber writes to Chidush. The Pimagodim points out from the fact that the deer can serve as the Shnei HaTziba, that's the Hechacha, that he can be Mitzvah to a minion. One might have perhaps thought that a deer cannot be Mitzvah to a minion, because there's a Midrash to be served in a Yisroch. We learn our talk from the Gzeva Shevel from the Meraglim, so that's how you know that you need it, that you should need that story. So one might think of me back here, Yisraelis, that Gerim may not be to listen to me, because there's Yisroch to me, Yisroch, and Yisroch means back to Yisrael and below Gerim. So that's what the Prima Gerim points out. You see from this Gerim Mechaber that it's not true, because the Gemara says in the Erevim that the Chazan has to be one who is in service to the Minim. He wants that they all have to be in the same room. If you have half the people in one room, half the people in the other room, it's no good, and the Chazan has to be in service with the Minim. You have 10 people in one room, and the Chazan in another room, is no good. The Chazan has to be in service with the Minim. So that's what they discuss in Shulchan Aruch, that a gear is special to be served as a Shlech Tzibur, that there's no problem of allocating it to every Zeno, and there's no problem of being assigned to the minion, no problem, everything is fine. However, we pointed out, based on the Mishnah of Yankee's Tzibur, that if you appoint a gear between to be the cousin of the Shul, not to be great, once in a while, everybody rotates, everybody has a turn to Dal Chanam. This guy has a Yerzai, so he's an Avelis, a Dal Chanam, and a two-time to Dal Chanam, so that's not so much a position of swearing to be there. So that extent you're permitted to appoint a gear. They ask the gear to serve as the Shlech HaTziba on one occasion. That the gear should be appointed permanently as the Shlech HaTziba, that initially stands as the Gen Tzavah. But to be permanently appointed as the Shlech HaTziba is considered a position of Tzavah. And that's a violation of the Gemara. Some person about now. Now the Meshech Chachma points out the Gemara that even if they ask you a Gavcha Nomad once, the Gabbai ask you once, not to him, not appointing you permanently as a Chachma. Even to ask you once, also the Gavcha Nomad requires you should refuse it. You see that even to serve one position left, it is also considered a form of swearer in the Dula. But the time that swearer in the Dula is not enough to be a violation of these Dula, and St. Austin comes in as the Mashmah. You have to figure out when is it your violation, when is it not. The question Allah Allah Almighty. I think the Mishnah says that. Yeah. But you're not permitted to appoint a gear unless he's a chazan and a shul of gear. That's all about that, my gear. A misazan legal. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu use misazan over here to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Tosis from Sochin asked a similar kasha in a different case. Because he says, A misazan legal, that if another girl asks you to do something, it's not proper to be misazan, only applies if he's asking you to do something reasonable. But if he's asking you to serve in a very high position of Sarela, and Rabbanu is named Darcharet, does require that you should be Misalva. So over here, he's appointing Moshe Rabbeinu as the chief rabbi of the world forever and ever. So Darcharet requires that you should say, maybe get some enough. Aaron, Moshe, now, pointed to a Dovish Yeshua, the mother of Adam, says that the Tesis himself, and the Samach, I think. So Dovish Yeshua, Sarela, the Rabbanu, a lot of Sarela, the Rabbanu, and Darcharet requires even to a Gadol that you should. You should do Messiah. And writing only Yichas here, the Tosh Rifka to react as the Shifka Shalem, writing the Yichas, the Torah writes, the Yitzach Aaron shall the Shevet Barsa Minot of Achos Nachshon Lo Leish. The Torah writes that Aaron got married to this girl Elisheva, who was the sister of Nachshon. What's the significance of saying he was that she was the sister of Nachshon? The Gemara says in Bela Batsra, and we learn out from this passage that when you're going out with a girl, you want to decide whether you want to marry her or not, you should be buried by Achia. Rashi says, Bela Batsra, Nikan Lamama Hamet, you should talk with the Achia. You have to check out the girl's brothers, and the Gemara says, why? Because where's our brother? My brother and the Achia, her age. And many of the children, or most of the children, will go in the footsteps of the girl's brother. So if the girl's brother is a tzaddik like Nachshon, I mean, so then it's a shidduch that you should look into. If you don't like the brother, so don't marry the girl. Because you won't like your children, because the children will take care for the girl's brother. There's a strange sifsei chachamim here. I never looked in the sifsei chachamim. But Rabbi Shmuel Shulman just put out a newspaper. So on this week's schedule, he writes that these four strange sifsei chachamim that he almost fell off of his chair. So one of them is over here. So he says, the holiest sifsei chachamim writes, that what it means to say is you only have to check into the girl's brother. It doesn't matter who the father is. The father can be a criminal, a gangster, an avaria, and whatever. Just check into the brother.
So he says, Dabas El Elitan Lehiyomer. It's against the Pasuk. It doesn't say that in Ayd El Sheva, Achos Nashon. It says in Ayd El Sheva, Barasam Inodav, Achos Nashon. It says who the girl's father was also. The Gemara says all over the place, you have to check into the girl's father. You have to try to marry about Tam Afachan. It means you even have to check into the girl's brother. Even have to check it. You certainly have to check into the girl's father. It's a very important thing. People get married. So you think that you only have to concentrate on the girl, you're not marrying the girl's family. It's not so. You're not marrying the girl's family. But you have to make sure that the girl's father is a nice guy and the girl's brothers are nice people, because otherwise it will affect your children, it will affect your marriage. First it says in the beginning of Perek Zayin, Eilam Hashem El Moshe, Eilam Tzarticha Elohim Lefaro, V'yaron Achicha Yihi Yed Lim V'yecho. What do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu is Elohim Lefaro. Mazeh Elohim. Rashi says, Shefei. Mikabal Ba'i Tzal Elohim, Loshin Tzok. Shefei, Zayin. Shefei Tzereide V'ladeh Tzedemakas V'yisuf. So you see from the Pasuk, that's what Abba Vila pointed out, you see from the Pasuk that the Eser Makos were an Oynesh to the Mitzvah. They needed a Dayan to pass on an Oynesh over here. Not just, the Pesukim say that the Baruch Hashem is going to make all these Makos, L'man Tapashmi, B'chol Ha'aret, that you should make your Kiddush Hashem, L'man, how does the Pasuk say, that the Jewish people should tell over the psukim sound as if the whole tachlis of the esamakas is just for the dramatic effect. That it should leave a roshim on the mitzvim, they should realize that there is a lekei horet, that the Rebbeinu Shlom is the God of the whole world, and then the mitzvim and the Bnei Yisrael should know that they should know that our God is the true God, and we should have a story to tell all the Talmud children. It's interesting. We usually assume that there was a story of Esther Makis, and then there was a Tzitzit from Tzitzit. And the Rebbeinu Shalom later gave a mitzvah of keeping Tzitzit from Tzitzit. You need the Tzitzit in the third verse in verse. The Rebbeinu Shalom wanted to make his mitzvah of keeping Tzitzit from Tzitzit. So he made the Esther Makis know we should have what to tell over. That's what it says in the Tzitzit. That's what it says. The Rebbeinu Shalom wanted us to be able to tell over keeping Tzitzit from Tzitzit about Amunah. We know that our Amunah is true. We know that our God exists and He created the world and He has power over the world and He knows what's happening and He has the ability to intervene and He does heal and He does intervene. And in order that we should be able to tell all of this over to our children from first-hand experience, I said, His Lord made all the Esamakas. So one might perhaps think that that was the sole purpose of the Esamakas, just to teach the Mitzvah a lesson and to teach the Israel a lesson, to have it to enable us to have the Mitzvah to teach it to Jesus. So Rashi says, no, it's not true. Eilam Tzarticha Elohim Lefaro, that Moshe Rabbeinu is a Dayan, is a Shofet. What would be a Shofet? So the Tosefta says in Sofa, the Tosefta lists four various punishments that lasted for a year. The Tosefta says that's the maximum that you ever punish anybody is for a year. You send students to Mashiach only for a year. You don't have to suffer more than a year. Any given Rebbe, you can leave at the end of the year. So the Gemara is the Tosefta says, Mishpat Hashem to Gehenna is Yud Beis Chodesh. The maximum that a person suffers in Gehenna is Yud Beis Chodesh. That's why it says that you say Kaddish for, if the parents do the showing, so you say Kaddish for 12 months, because the situation goes to the Zohar. And when the children recite Kaddish, so they pay their parents from the Mishpat Yehem. And because the Ramolai said, because no one wants to demonstrate that their parents are suffering Gehenna for the full 12 months, so that's why the minute you only say Kaddish for 11 months, you don't say the 12 months. Unless the parents are known to be the showing, then you can't say for 12 months. To cover them, to try to be paid again for the maximum of the 12 months. And then the Tosefta says the Mishpat Ramabu was the Yud Beis Chodesh. So the whole world was punished, so the punishment was the maximum punishment, 12 months. And the Mishpat of Mitzrayim was 12 months. That's what the Tosefta says. So from the beginning of the Esther Makos to the end, it took 12 months. So this was a punishment to the Mitzrayim. And Rashi writes later, by the Matzah Tzadeya, the olive, the sharata yotzad, and the olive rod, the reitecha, the chadar mishkal, the rabbin tzecha, the reitecha, the dechah, the yamecha, the sanderecha, the mishar reitecha. The vachol, the yamcha, the chol, the vadecha, so Rashi says that the reitecha, the achkaf, the vati avadecha, who his kodeis, the tzilo, the vayonu alamo, u vimenu his tzilo haperonis. As the moment says, the dafir alef, and shmeis rabbah. So it means that this staff of Moshe and Aaron, Reinus Tatechel, even if our Moshe Rabbeinu was a shaitan, to pass him out what the Yonah should be. The Yonah should. Not everybody deserves the same Yonah. Dumb. Everybody suffers dumb. Sadeh, everybody suffers Sadeh. No, it's not everybody the same. Sadeh, some people suffered more than others. If all vote the Beitecha, Reis Avadecha, the cabinet, the ministers, Uviyamecha, and the rest of the people suffered less. Or they suffered later, whatever. It was a difference. The punishment was different. So Rachid Kasim Adri Gosser. To the extent that each one sinned, that's the extent that they were punished. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the dying over here, and he was meeting out the punishment to the different people. The Makkah of Kreuer is in addition to being serving as a punishment for the Mitzriya and for the Averis that they had done, and in addition to serving as for the dramatic effect. The man Tapishmi Bahoras and the man that the Navy should have what to tell over to the Kitchen Time on Pesach night and every year. In addition to that, Akkadosh Baruch Hu says in the end of Parsha Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you better let the Navy Israel go free, and if not, and then after having this thing called the Chayrecha, he's going to kill the Chayrecha. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash on that passage, why does he say Makkah first? Why doesn't he go in order? If you don't let the Nei Sogo go free, I'll make a Makkah, bam, then next will come Sadeh. Why does he mention right away? The first thing he mentions is Makkah is the Chayrecha. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash one interpretation, that when a melech busts of a dom and a hedyot wages war with his enemy, he doesn't want the enemy to know how much power he has. I don't want you to know that I have only 85 planes, and that's all. I only have 8 bombs, I don't have 8 bombs, I only have this, I have that. I'm afraid to tell you what I have, because I don't know what you have. I want to make believe that I have more than I really have. So the Baruch Shalom, when he fights a war, he doesn't have to keep a secret. He says, the worst thing, he says, I have an H-bomb. If you want to fight with me, I'll drop the H-bomb against you. If you want to develop a hydrogen bomb, you want to do bigger than I have, sure. That is the biggest. So the Baruch Hashem tells him the final market, the worst market of all, market clearance, which is going to be the ultimate market. He doesn't say first, I'll do dumb. And make believe that's all. And then he sees that that's not going to work. He's going to do Spidea, bring out some more bombs. And he's going to bring out Keenan and others and all the others. No, he tells him the final bomb. I'll drop the final bomb on you. That's what Rashi quotes in the Medrash. So the Baruch Hashem doesn't have to hide his weapons. He tells you right away out front what he has. And he's going to win the war. The Baruch Hashem is going to win the war. This Gerada just had a different, an additional suggestion. Perhaps I'll continue from this where he thought that it means a little more than that. That the other makos, all of the other makos were a punishment for the machine, and it was for the dramatic effect that it would have. But also, makos first had another tachlis. Makkah the first was the Yetzias Mitzrayim, was the Gemara of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We were learning in the Mishnah Berurah, when we learned Hilchos Kriyas Shema before the Tzuna, so we learned to quote the Rashba and quote the Tzef and the Yerushalmi that on Pesach night you have to tell the Yetzias Mitzrayim Barichas. And on Bechol Yom you only have to say Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, you have to say Tipi Yetzias Mitzrayim, just to keep the Nina. So we just say your last part is Kriyas Shema, Ani Hashem Lekeh Hashem Lekeh Hashem Lekeh Hashem Lekeh Hashem Lekeh Hashem Lekeh Hashem Lekeh. But the Yerushalmi and the Tosef is saying, and the Rishab is saying, that L'chatchila, you have to have a little more than that. When you say, Zechiyot Yetzias Mitzrayim L'chol Yom, well, not to tell over the whole story of all the Esamakas, but to have a little more than Aruch's role. Namely, you have to mention Makas Becheles, Kriyas Yamsil, and Kabbalah from Malchus Shemayim. That at the time of Kriyas Yamsil, they're in the Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim. That's what the Rajva quotes in his reception from the Gemara Yerushalmi. Why is Makkah's Kher singled out? Why is Makkah's Kher and Kriyas Yamsil singled out from all of the other Makkahs? Why not Dam, Fadi, Akinam? What did Tukyad ask in Makkah's Kher? So the answer is that at the time of Makkah's Becherai, the Medrash says that Tara was running around. He left his home and he found Moshe Rabbeinu. And he made an official government declaration at that time that until now you will have to Tyre. On the Kavielach, I free you. In the name of the government of Mitzrayim, I free you. And I declare now that you will have the Hashem and the Halo of the Hashem. That's what the Medrash says. Until now you will have the Tyre, so there's nothing to say Halo about. But now I declare that you are free. Instead of being my body, you should now be Avdi Hashem. The Halo of the Hashem, you should say Halo. So since at that time he made the official government declaration freeing the Jewish people and retain the governing,
Well, Yochim Tzemi Teichem L'Chei Yisraelim, and Meir is something like that. Yochim Tzemi Teichem L'Chei Yisraelim means that at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu by the Brit Ben Avraham Avinu, they take it to Zerah Yisrael, to Lelahem Ba'avod, and the Inu Eichem, there is a double Zerah. There is a Zerah Abdus, and there is a Zerah Inu. Zerah Abdus was that we should be Avodim. The Zerah Inu means that we should suffer. The Abdus means that there is a kingdom. The government of Mitzrayim really had a kingdom over the Jewish people. He had a status of Avodim. That's what some of the portion points out. It doesn't make sense. Moshe Rabbeinu comes to the Jewish people and they're suffering for so many years, and then they don't hang it into their Shamway life. He takes you off now, very closely, they didn't listen to him. How can they not listen? No, if you come to slave me, tell him, I'm gonna break you out of prison, I'm gonna free you, I'm gonna take you into Eretz Yisrael. They wouldn't even get them excited. They don't even get excited at all. But how the answer is that, I know that Tanani is mom is Tom Ashikon Eretz Kana Rabbi, ain't you that it's Loi Rabbi. Eretz Tanani belongs to the Yodin to show the Hamorah. Eretz Tanani has such a mentality that he doesn't even dream of freedom. That's what Galoha says. That, and that the Kanaimi is not tied in Aliyah Laregel. So the Yishalmi, the Gemara says, why? Because the Prophet says, Shalosh Tom Yishalmi, Yigal Kos Tilcha, Kaneha Odin Hashem, Misha Ein Lo Yala Odin Echa, Yot Yizesh Yesh Lo Odin Acher. A person who is an Eved to a Bosh of Adam cannot have a Hasogir. Doesn't have a higher Hasogir. He never strives for anything great. He has a mentality of an Abdus mentality. So such a person is not shy that he should enter into a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He should be a regular in order to meet the Rebbe Shlom, to have a rendezvous with the Shekhinah. The Beis HaMikdash is not shy. So here also apparently the name Shlom, Mamish Avodim. It wasn't just that they were suffering like slaves. There was a kingdom. The Egyptian government had a real kingdom in the moment. It's over the Jewish people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was greater Abdus, the Avodim, the Inoism. Abdus, the Inoism for the Abdus was a real kingdom moment. But at the time of Makkos Chayrus, Pharaoh was Mishachar of the Bnei Yisrael with a government declaration. They were Avodim to the government, so he declared that Mekam Vienna, they were Avodim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, their king. And the prophet in the Davening, we say, that Yisrael HaMitzvah, Mechei Yisraelam, that from that time on, there was never a Zerah Min HaShemayim of Avdus, Mechei Yisraelam. There was never ever a Zerah of Avdus. There were unfortunate Zerahs of Yisurim and Haligia and suffering and all kinds of other things, but there was never a Zerah of Avdus. And when the Nazis made the Jewish people work in slave camps, Alpi Halacha, we weren't slaves. In the time, we were slaves. Alpi Halacha, we were slaves. But under the Nazis, we didn't have a din of slaves. It was all Shalosh Din. And the time was also Shalosh Din, but they had a kingdom over the Jewish people that had to have a shikhur. That required a shikhur. But the Nazis, we didn't need any shikhur. But they lost the war. That was the end of the Inu. No shikhur was required. So the occasion at which the shikhur was accomplished, Alpi Din, was the time of Makkos Bechorus. That's what the Medrash says, that the night of Makkos Bechorus at Chatzai, Paro ran around declaring this government declaration that he's freeing the Bnei Yisrael. And Kriyas Yamsu was the literal Kriyas Yamsu. That's when they left the country. They walked out of the country. So that's why the Halacha requires that every day when we mention Zechira, 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 we only mention it, Zechira. You don't give a whole speaker about it. You just give the Kisa Nimra. But when we do the Zechira, 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 you have to mention, as part of the Zechira, Zechira, Matas Becheris and Kriyas Yam. So that's what Adolvo would suggest, that maybe that's when the end of Parashat Shmos, when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Paro, and he delivers the message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he says, Shalach Bnei Yisrael Zechira. And if you don't set Bnei Yisrael free, you can end up in hell with his din from the Pharaoh. What does that mean? They're not going to punish you. You're going to suffer if you don't listen to me. I'm going to drop a bomb. No, what it means is you better set them free. And if not, I will see to it that you set them free. When you say Makkos Bechorus, that's the same as saying you see it from time. I will see to it that you will set them free. Because at the time of Makkos Bechorus, that's when power is set Bnei Yisrael free. It's not necessarily to be understood the way Rashi said his name in the Medrash, that he's threatening him to punish him with such a great Irish. But it's rather that the Zohar says, I'm going to have my winner. A Shalach has said to me, so free, make a declaration that you set them free. If you don't listen to me now, I will speak to you that you'll have to set them free, namely, at the time of Matthew's birth. That's probably the reason why we have mitzvahs, which Misha's lady has discussed, when you put it about Mitzvah. How come we have mitzvahs that is Zeichel and Matthew's Bechari? We have to be Naben, and we have Bechor Behem Matthew, and Matthew's on his Beach, and we have Bechor Behem Matthew, and Pesach Hamor, is it mean we have to use the fifth of the seven or fifth of our Rapha? Why don't we have mitzvahs, Zeichel, Dam, Zeichel, Tzvadeh, Zeichel, Tzvadeh?
Sounds funny, because we don't have any mitzvahs like that. But it is. Why not? Why did the Baruch Hu only make mitzvahs Yechel and Matzah? He gives some kind of an answer, Derech HaChassidus. I forgot what he said. But perhaps this is the answer. That it's not that we have a mitzvah Yechel and Matzah Tchoyus. Remember, this Matzah, over and above all the other Matzahs, no, this Matzah had, in addition to the two aspects, had a third aspect. In addition to serving as a punishment, so Moshe Rabbeinu was a Elohim, he was a dying in the Shekel, and all of the Esamakis were punishment, and in addition to serving the theatrical purposes, Alman Safishni Bechol Horeh, Alman Safishni Bechol Horeh, Alman Safishni Bechol Horeh, Ben Bimcha, and so on, in order that everybody should see all the Nisim in the floors to prove all the Shekel Shemuna, the Makas Bechorah served another function. That was going to be Kiyas and Tzad. That's what twisted powers on to set the nation of Kiyas. So perhaps that's the reason why we have mitzvah zechel and makas kharis, because makas kharis is the kiyas and tzad. It's the same thing. A mitzvah zechel is kiyas and tzad. We have a lot of mitzvah zechel and kiyas and tzad. But the only makas that we have a mitzvah zechel and makas is makas kharis. So perhaps that's the answer. It's not zechel to the makas. It's zechel to the kiyas and tzad. Makas kharis means the kiyas and tzad. And the first makkah, it says when the Moshe Rabbeinu converted all of the waters of Mitzrayim into dam. Kach makkah and tayot chameh me Mitzrayim al nahar esam al yoreh al admen al kol mitzvah nemeh. Kol mitzvah nemeh. All the bodies of water turned into blood. So how did Am Chol eres and some great things were born? We ask the same Moshe Rabbeinu, Kashi Tzir Hashem. All the water turned into blood. Then it says the Yatikin Khatun Mitzan Balatem, Ayahazak Lepalo Shamalan Kashidi Bashem. He didn't believe the Makro because his Khatun is to do the same thing. If he's got to do the same thing, so it doesn't prove that there's anything supernatural over here. Maybe he's done with Tesha Sakisha. So he showed him, yes. How could the Khatun Mitzan do the same thing? There was no more water left. It says in the earlier speaking, the Holodam Chola is in time. Call Mitzan remains. All the bodies of water have running to dump. So there's no more water left. So where are they going to get water? Whenever there was water, it's converted into dust. So the Bali Atesh is doing out this tension. They give different tarifs. Some Rishonim say it's Vayachter. Only the waters that were on the surface of the ground converted into dam. The waters that were deep below didn't convert into dam. And the Chatun Yisrael dug deep into the ground. They got some underground sources of water, and that water was not converted into dam. So they were able to show that they could do it as well. So the Bali Atesh is here to show, look at that. They also come from Syria to Amayim, and they're supposed to be in the Yisrael and Ayyot. So when they dug Syria to Ayyot, did they succeed in getting water? Or they did not succeed in getting water? It says in Pasuk Chavdal, Vayachlus Vivas Hayor, Vilayachlus Vivas Kismayim Mimene Hayor. They couldn't drink the water in the oil, it was blood. So they got Vivas Hayor. And what happened? Yeah, they succeed. They got water, they didn't get water. It doesn't say. If you say, so some Rishonim say, and they got water. Only the water on the surface of the ground turned into dam. Oh, so that's what the Chatunim did, that they dug deep and they got water. So other Balei HaPesach say they can't believe that that's shot in the Pasuk. Because, so what's the big matter? What's the terrible matter? So you'll get from underground sources. You can't turn on the forces. Oh, that's a little inconvenient. You didn't have forces anyway. You can't turn on the forces. You have to get from underground sources. So they're all big. So they say, no, that was a matter that was, it was very inconvenient. Matter doesn't mean you drop dead. Matter doesn't mean that they tie you down. Matter means like this, but they are feeling. Doesn't mean that life stops. Life was extremely inconvenient. You know, so it was a very inconvenient situation that everybody had to go dig, and when they would dig, they would succeed in getting water. That's what some Balei HaPesach say. Yeah. Okay. They didn't bathe so much years ago until Whitney invented the cotton gin. People didn't bathe so much before. So cotton underwear. They state in the history book. You could bathe the Erev Rosh Hashanah. Once a year, Erev Rosh Hashanah, whether you need it or not, they would wash part of the other right. They used to throw a lot of perfume on because the bodies were so full of perspiration. So they used to always, men and women used to use perfume. Until they invented cotton clothing, and then they washed it all the time. Then the people would bathe a lot and wash the clothing a lot. But the many got the same all over the world was not so. So very, very recently. Royalty, yeah. Yeah. Papyro was a nice. Okay. That's what Swami Sharing says, that only the water on the surface of the ground turns to dam. Other Balaya Tosis say that the water only turns to dam for a short period of time. For a couple of hours.
But what was the makkah?
The makkah was that all of the fish died.
That's right.
Hadav HaShariah Meitah, because the fish need water to live. If you put fish in a tank of blood, they're going to die. So all the fish died. Then Batib HaShayor, Bayib HaShayor, and there was an awful smell from the earth, so the water, they couldn't drink the water because of all of the fish, all the dead fish that were floating around. That's why it was a matter. But the water itself, any pond of water, any lake that didn't have any fish in it, so the water converted into blood, and then after an hour, it switched back. After 15 minutes, it switched back into water. So those areas where there were no fish, that died, that wasn't Bayib HaShayor. So that was okay. So the Balaya places find it difficult to swallow. They say that, so why should we call makas dam? We call makas batib ashayor. It should be something else. Makas doasho, makas dogi. Not makas dam. The dam, the chad dagya chazay. Dam caused the fish to die, and the fish died caused the water to smell. The water smell, that's what it comes in. Shouldn't be called makas dam, should be called makas turchan amayim. Maybe that's a shot. Another Balei HaTosis say that it was only in Eretz Mitzrayim that the water turned into dam. In Goshen, it did. In Eretz Goshen, it didn't happen. Goshen is Mamzer. That's a Mamzer. Where the Jews live. Where the Swim the Jews live, so it didn't turn into. So the Chatunim went and they got water from Eretz Goshen. So where did they get water for? Just to prove that they could do the same trick also. So they went to Goshen and got some water. That's a shot. But the Shredder Pesach, whatever the answer is, whatever the shot is, it's a very difficult parasha to read. It says all the water converted into dam, and then it says that the Chatzurim did the same thing. The Gemara in Pesachim points out that the Sardin were instructed to go all over the place. Though, to the Sechel, Yalo Vobu, the Sechel, the Chabam, the Shkafan, they would eat their bread, so the frogs would still be alive in their stomachs. They would be jumping around their stomach. That's how the Midrashim understand, Yishar Yisrecha. What is Tamer Echo? They should jump into the oven. The oven is lit or the oven is not lit? The Gemara says the oven is lit. The oven is lit, they're going to get killed. The Gemara says, they were Moisam Hashem HaKidosh Hashem. That's how the Gemara says. It's Tadewa, they were Moisam Echosh HaKidosh Hashem. And that's what the Pesach says later. He says, get rid of all of these frogs. Whatever this tzadeya is, all the people in the Nefoshim, what's the tzadeya? You could follow the Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, Hatiya Lashem, you also have tzadeya, you made him a jet, he's frogged out of here. So Moshe Rabbeinu asks him when, and he says tomorrow. So he says, okay, the Torah tzadeya, you know, the 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 frogs in the tanurim couldn't jump back into the earth because they were killed in the tanur. That's what the Rishon says. So the Gemara says the Hanan Yishol Vazayah made a kavachoma when they were about to throw them into the kitchen. So they made a kavachoma. The Marat, the frogs are not human beings and they don't get any scar. Nevertheless, they were most nefesh to do the rest of Hashem to jump into the tanur. So we, who are Bosser Adam, and we have Kira Chavshus, and we get scarred, the youngest, we certainly have to be Mesa Nefesh to jump into the Tisha. What do they need a Kavachana for? Wasn't it the good of Yehoi Bar Yahoo? No. He wanted them to bow down to an idol, and if not, he's going to kill him. So that's the deal. Let's say Bayas, there's a deal Yehoi Bar Yahoo. If a guy comes and wants me to worship Abed Zorah, and he comes and he'll kill me. So the deal is you have to give your life up. It's based on a kavachemif and it's tzadeya. It's based on a posse. So you have to b'chol v'achol v'chol nashkan, so you have to b'chol nashkan. What does that do with a kavachemif and it's tzadeya?
But the sum of the answer is, like Tosi says in Sugya, Rabbi Tam says in Sugya. The Gemara says here in Eilat Aris, in the middle of the Sugya of Kamla with the Rabbanu. The Gemara says, Mali Nagdu Lachanan Yishav Azariah, Havatokhul Etzlom. If they were beaten them up, they would have worshipped itself. The place is here, the only shenemus. How can they worship this son? So Chabim from your heart, why ever? Already is off. So the Sheikh Mekubet says, says Pashup Shad.
Yeah, we know it from history, we know it after the Korean War. That the Koreans with the Chinese, when they took Americans and they broke them, so they kept on torturing them and torturing them. If you torture a person long enough, he'll give them to do whatever you want them to do. So that's the Pashup Shad in the mind. You have a talk with some of them. What if you if you hold the gun and you say, "Idi, worship of Israel, I shoot you." The guy says, "Yahweh, Yahweh, I give up my life. Shoot me." That's easy. But if they keep on torturing you day after day, hour after hour, and then after 20-30 days of torture, they say, "Worship itself, and we won't torture you anymore." So the guy has no clear chavshah anymore. He lost his whole clear chavshah. He has to torture him. So that's perhaps the pasuk shot in the mark. But other rishonim didn't understand it like that. Either they couldn't visualize that, or they had to think of torturing and taking the guy's ability to have clear chavshah, so they didn't think that that's the Gemara meant. So the other Rishonim understood, if they would have harmed them a lot, they would have worshipped themselves. The case is, how can it be? Even though they would still have the ability to turn down that that offer, even though they have the clear chavshah to say that we want to give up our lives instead, so how could that be that they would worship themselves? Some of them say that your head by Yavar only means that you're obligated to give up your life. And one shot of fear, you say, you worship Abu Zabi King, so I say, kill me. So that's easy. Say, kill me. But if they say, either you worship Abu Zabi, or we're going to torture you, and before they started to torture me. So if I know that the torture is going to be a long drawn out thing, I have the right to worship Abu Zabi. Because torture is worse than losing your life. And you only mechuyah b'chol afilu neglas nafshecha. B'chol nafshecha, afilu neglas nafshecha. But this is worse than neglas nafshecha. To suffer extended pain is even worse. Even worse as today kach, that it's even worth it to worship other Israel. That's the Sama Shani thing. The Yerushalmi that the Achrenim discussed. Yerushalmi has a shalot, whenever you have an aguna, okay, the husband is missing, so the wife may not be married. So she may be an agency, she may be an amara. We don't know if the husband is alive or dead. So the Yishami has to ask that question, why do you say that the woman is not permitted to be married? Sometimes it can go on for 50 years. There's a woman in the neighborhood. His husband disappeared in the Atlantic 50 years ago in the middle of the Second World War, and they just found a plane. They just found a plane a couple of months ago. It disappeared over the jungles in Africa. And they never found anything, they never found the plane without ever found anything. Until a couple of years ago, they found the plane with those markings, and they couldn't find any bodies. The bodies were eaten up already by the wild animals in the jungle. But that woman couldn't leave now, for 50 years. She just died. And they died before. I think she died before they found the plane without ever found. So the Shai lives, and Shami asked the question, Shami myself, Shami asked the question, why do you say that the woman may not be married? Is the suffering for the rest of her life? Isn't the suffering enough to be not to use the violet in another era? You have to suffer for the rest of your life to remain stuck. You can't marry anybody. Yishami seems to answer that if you thought Gili Arai is the person who makes a decision, Gili Arai is one of the three others that you say, Harizal Yahweh. So that's why the Gili requires that you have to suffer. But let's say it would be a case of choice of food. Let's say a guy's on a desert island and the only food he has to eat is choice of food. And he knows he's going to have to suffer for a long, long time. He knows they're going to come pick him up in another month. So he can either eat grass and drink water for a month and suffer, or he can eat some chafer to have the ham sandwiches. He can eat the chafer food. So he's in the wheat, and there's no sakonis refoshin. He doesn't think he's going to die. He's a doctor. And though he's not going to die, he can live out eating grass and water. That's the misery. So the Yishami seems to imply, the flesh of Yishami seems to imply, that suffering for an extended period is considered the same as is equal to giving up your life. And the thing is, when it comes to Sharif Turim, that's Matthew, Matthew is a Gideon, and when it comes to Abed Israel in the life of Shechazan, the thing is that you have you need to give up your life. Some of them say no, that extended suffering for a long period of time is considered more than giving up your life. Even Abed Israel in the life of Shechazan, you can also violate, and that's the Pshat anymore, and what do you do?
different shatim, the Rishonim had difficulty understanding the Gemara. So Rabbi Natan comes up in a new Ayin Tzom. He says that the Tzlama that they wanted them to worship wasn't the Avodah Zarah. I mean, so he says it was only the Tzlam of the king. Some of them morons used to worship the king. But the intelligent people didn't worship the king. The intelligent people bowed down to the Tzlam as an act of cover to the Malchus. The Mikra Adin was really mutter to bow down to the Tzlam of Nebuchadnezzar. And Hanan Mezhav Azariah refused to bow down to the Tzlam. That was an act of Midas Chassidus. So they gave up their lives as an act of Midas Chassidus. That's what the Abbein Tam says. Close case. You see, right away, you're allowed to do a Midas Chassidus to give up your life. My question to Rambam and Bali, I think. That's where you have a situation where the din is that Yav Rabbi Yehorit. Okay, the boy threatens to kill me unless I eat a chazan. So the din, if it's between Astor and Minister, if it's in the presence of 10 Jewish people, so the din is Yehorit by Yav. If it's Bishat Chazay or Bishat Chazay or Sashmad, the din is again Yehorit by Yav. But if it's Kisina, and Shlev Bishat Chazay, so the din says that I'm permitted to eat the choice of food in order to save my life. So the Rambam says not only you're permitted to, you're obligated to eat it, and you're not permitted to volunteer on your own out of the Midas Chassidus to lose your life. That's the din of suicide. I heard Dinuchan Rashi say from Ed Rosen, because that crowd is a Midas Chassidus and he gives up his life, that he's Chai Misa La Shamayim, he lost his life already. He's considered that he did an Avera for which he deserves Misa De Shamayim, namely for suicide. And Tosfos and other Rishonim say it's not so, that sometimes you have a Midas Chassidus to give up your life, even when the din does not really require it of you. So this is the Rabbi Natama. She talks about the sheep of the Bali Atena. He says that the Tzelem was not really a Tzelem of Avodah Zarah, and perhaps that's the reason why the Gemara had to make a Kal Vachomer from the Sadeya. The Sadeya was not the Tzadeh to give up their lives to jump into the Kibshem Har, into the Tamerecha. Just the Rebbe Shalom said there's going to be a Makas Sadeh. The Rebbe Shalom doesn't give Kivuim to Behemoth. There are a lot of people who are like Behemoth, but they're not really. So they got children with the Behemoth. Behemoth, Mamsha Behemoth, the kid doesn't give any mitzvahs to Behemoth. So how come the Sadeh, some of them volunteered to jump into the Talmud? Because they understood that that was the Ratzon Hashem, so they volunteered. But it's not good, they volunteered to be Maisa Nefesh and know it's the Ratzon Hashem. They volunteered to lose their life. So that's what Hanan and Mashal Azariah passed with Dana Kalvachana from this side, and that the side never had any mitzvahs, they never had at all a mitzvah to give up their life. And still they understood the proper thing to do, and this occasion when the Bershom wants to make a mark of Sardaya, that the side should be even in the Tamurim, so they volunteered to do it. They did not do it. So that's why Hanan and Mashal Azariah also did, as a voluntary act, we could have been the one who used to give up their life. Voluntarily they gave up their life. The Masaira, printed on the side of the Mikvah Gedolos, often tells you how many times a certain word appears in Tanakh. If the word S, he's not going to tell you how many times the word S appears, it's the word Lord. Means if it's a rare word that doesn't appear more than 10 times, more than 15 times, then he's going to tell you how many times. The very common word, he's not going to tell you. Here on the word Ha'al, Ze Ha'al, the Masor writes that this word only appears twice in Tanakh. Once only the Ha'alas Atzadi Malayesh Mitzrayim, the word is a Ha'al. The first part is in Shafta Ches over here in Va'era. And then it says, Moshe in the end of Chumis Bamidba, Moshe was commanded by Kodesh Baruch Hu to take Aharon and his son Elozer, the Ha'alas son Hor Ha'or, and if you take off the big between his mouth and put it on Elozer, and Aharon is going to die. So the Masor has it that the word Ve'ha'al appears twice in Tanakh. So the Mephoshim sometimes try to figure out what is the significance of the Masor. What's the significance of the fact that this word only appears twice in Tanakh? It sounds like there's some relationship between the two. So usually it's an Achrayim, usually a Chassidish Yisrael, an Achrayim they have here. What are the Balei HaTosfos comments? When you say to Moshe who came in, he quotes different Balei HaTosfos. You have to know who the names are. He quotes Achrasim, he quotes the Kosher, he quotes different people. So you gotta know. One of the names, I didn't know who it was over here, of course, one of the Balei HaTosfos says, why is only twice the Ha'al? He says, because the Tzadim knew that they have to do Ratzon Hashem. Like these Gemara, the Palachama from the Tzadim. The Tzadim knew they have to do Kiddush Hashem. And Moshe and Aaron lost their lives, Allah Shem Alkin, Allah Shem Akidash, to know to the Shem Israel. What exactly was that here that they did is very unclear.
even if it wasn't an Aver. But on their Magrego is considered an Aver. Rachaim HaKadosh HaChumash quotes 10 different opinions. What exactly was the Aver of Moshe Rabbeinu? What did they do? This one is sending you a different shot, and each one disagrees with the other shot. They're all very difficult. All the 10 shots are difficult. But what's pretty clear is that if you or I would have done what Moshe Rabbeinu did, we wouldn't be punished for who we were. We do bigger Averes. Some of us even talk Rosh Hashanah. We do bigger Averes, and the Baruch Hashem lets us go to Eretz Yisrael. We go visit Eretz Yisrael. We are buried in Eretz Yisrael after we die. Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. He wasn't allowed to visit. He wasn't allowed to live there. He wasn't allowed to be buried there. That's a punishment, and we don't know exactly what Aver was. If we would have done, we do worse things than we were made in Pesach. The family is upset, very dark, is because Aver is a person in his Madrega. So it wasn't simply that he violated Tivui Hashem. He didn't do the Kiddush Hashem, Al Hashem Atin Hashem, but Kedashti Mes Shmi B'Sef and Ritzo. So that's what the Balei HaPesach say, that the how, this Masera has it, that just like the Tzadim understood on their own what the right thing to do was. They weren't at Tzabu, it doesn't make sense to say the Tzadim on the Tzabu. They understood what the right thing to do is, and they volunteered to do it. So Moshe and Aaron should have understood. The people in Yemadeg, they should have understood the right thing to do under their circumstances, and they didn't understand it, and that's why they were punished. A lot of times there are things that we have to do even if we're not commanded. We have a Torah full of dinim, we have a Shulchan Aruch. It doesn't say in the Shulchan Aruch anyway that you can't wear dungarees. It doesn't say anyway that you can't come to the yeshiva with sneakers on, or with that sock. Years ago, I'm sure Moshe Rabbeinu didn't wear that. So Moshe Rabbeinu would have dungarees or sneakers, he would be wonderfully dressed. He would be considered dressed like aristocracy. But today, if you live in a society and a guy comes to yeshiva wearing, a guy walks around with dungarees or without sack of songs, it has a different connotation, means a different thing. The person sometimes has to understand, even if the thing is not mitzvah, even if you don't have an outside din on it, there's a way a person should understand how he's supposed to act. What is the proper way of Kiddush Hashem? We make a mistake when we divide everything into life into two categories. We mentioned many times the Fajr Salvavis has this claw. The Sefer Yisrael B'Sherash already calls this claw Mahayot and Shabbat Fajr Salvavis. But the Fajr Salvavis writes that people make a mistake. They think there are three parts to human activities. It's what you're not allowed to do, what you have to do, and everything else in between is Zara Shus. Well, they're wrong. So the Fajr Salvavis said it's not correct. There is no real area of Zara Shus. The area of Zara Shus is also Achiyus. Everything in life you're mechuyav to do. You're mechuyav to do this, you're not allowed to do this, you have to do this. Each person should be mechuyav to do this. It's not that you have an option to go into any field you want. No, you have to become a doctor, you have to become a lawyer, you have to become a rabbi in a yeshiva, you have to become a work on computers, you have to become an accountant. Each person has to do whatever he's set up for. The reason why you call it Dvar Shus is because there's no Shulchan Aruch that's going to tell you, there's no Sif in the Shulchan Aruch, there's no Sif Kotz in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Shara Tzion, that tells you what field you have to go into, but it's not really Dvar Shus. Everything is straight to chiyuv. Every person has to go into some field or another. He has to take the field that he's more cut out for, and how many hours a day he should work, and how many days he should take a vacation, whether he should go to Miami for vacation, or he should go to Yeshiva for vacation, go to Israel for vacation. Everything is, each person has to do, for his circumstance, whatever he's required to do. We call the Dvar Shus, it's a Losh and Mushal, it's not really correct. It's not a Dvar Shus, it's a free-for-all, do whatever you want. It's the area where we have to be ma'avit for Shamayim, which is a real mitzvah like over here. It's Tzadim, and Moshe Rabbeinu, and Aaron, and Hanan, and Tovah Zariah, and each person has to figure out in what way can we ma'avit more for Shamayim. So it's not a Dvar Shus to decide how you'll speak, and what kind of a hairstyle you'll have, and what kind of clothing you'll wear, and what your attitude will be. All of these things are really given mitzvah. These are real issues, these are real deals. They call it a Dvar Shus because there's no Sif Katan in the Mishnah Berurah on this. You know, the Torah should dig him in the Shulchan Aruch, but it's not a Dvar Shus. Why did Paro say you should wait till tomorrow? Very strange. You read the parasha, very strange. Moshe Rabbeinu tells him, Lamasan Yatelecho. When should I should dive to the bunch and take away from wherever he wants. This is tomorrow. Why not today? Usually when he asks the guy who's in trouble, when do you need it? He says, no, when do you need it? He says, yesterday. No. He says, get rid of the children. I didn't want them yesterday. What did you say tomorrow? Come on, brother. I saw one of the Bali Atos, when he considers Pasuk Shah. I don't know, is this true? That the frogs can't live on a dry land for too long a time? Frogs have to live in water. So it says that the frogs can jump around out of the water for a couple of hours, up till a day. But more than a day, they can't jump around.
So the fact that they have a magefa from Sidon doesn't necessarily mean that it's an Eidos in Hashemayim. Maybe it's a mitrehu, maybe it's a mitre. Let's try to jump it around. If they last on a dry land for more than a day, they don't know that it's a real makam in Hashemayim. They don't believe it. So he said, when you want them to get rid of the frog, he said, I'm not so sure that it's a makam. Let him stay around for 24 hours. And after 24 hours, then I want to get rid of him. But he wants to see if they're not going to stay around 24 hours, then he doesn't believe that it's a makam at all. So one of the Balei HaTosfos says this. At the end of the parasha, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu left by Yetzir Moshe Esaliyah. He went to Davin Tarkadish Baruch Hu. Pasuk Lamed Gimel, all of them. Yetzir Moshe Mitzvah Esaliyah. Why first capital of Hashem? He Davin Tarkadish Baruch Hu. The feast is Kapara. Why is the Yetzir Moshe Esaliyah? He didn't want to daven in the city. The city was Malaya Gilubin. But in the city was Malaya Giru. There was no garbage collection. We usually learn Parshas Tzaddik Malaya Avodah Zarah. So one is prohibited to daven, that's the Parshas Tzaddik. One is prohibited to daven in the presence of Tzoriah. That's the Parshas in the Chumash Barim. Shat in the Chisit of Tzaddik, then she's Hoya Machanech HaKadosh Yidu B'chay Avodah Zarah. You don't learn that from that Parshas. You don't profit learning that from that Parshas. You're beginning that. You're not permitted to daven or to learn. Can I get Erva? Can I get Soya? Can I get Merag Lion? So the Hirsch Mel is Dina Berg, if you know you thought so, right? From his state, the other state that are a little bit like the Nihatsuna. The state are Mitzvah. Only the beginning was Kinnah. The first 15 Mitzvah was Kinnah. It's called the Derech Tikudecha. Mishnah Berurah quotes it once or twice. Say the Derech Tikudecha, but I see the Shirena. He quotes the mitzvah and he divides every mitzvah to Machshava Dibur Maisa. So he tells you the dinim of the mitzvah, that's Maisa. Maisa is the halacha of the mitzvah, he gives you the kitzah, then he gives you Dibur, he gives you some Kibushi dinim. And then Machshava, he gives you Tami HaMitzvah. He usually gives you first Hati Nigla, then he gives you Hati Chassidim, then he gives you Hati Kabbalah, he gives you different Tami HaMitzvah. It's an interesting thing. So even there he has an interesting original chiddush. Once in a while he has a chiddush. So he has a chiddush that he writes, he thinks that one is prohibited to daven k'neged avodah zarah. Let's say there's a test, or there's an idol that people actually worship. If you have, let's say, a picture of Yashkin, people worship Yashkin, they don't worship this picture. You have a cross, but people call it a holy cross. Like, it's a symbol of their religion. But the intelligent Christians don't actually worship the cross. I was told a lot of Puerto Ricans in Spain worship the cross itself. People don't understand what the religion is all about. Like a lot of Jews, intelligent Jews, know what they're doing when they do mitzvahs. A lot of unintelligent Jews don't exactly understand what the mitzvahs, what the religion is all about. So it sounded just like we have such a division amongst our groups. But the very most of it. So the Pashit, the real, the Hamayna, they'll actually worship the cross itself. The cross itself, such a cross that's actually worshipped, is Takhir, Baruch Shalom, and Rizal. So the Bnei Yisrael writes this Chiddush and the Seif of the Echfut of Echor, that an actual thing about Avodah Zarah is referred to by the Torah as Gilulehem. Gilulehem. So since Golol is Tzoyah, you're not permitted to daven k'neged Tzoyah, you're not permitted to daven k'neged Avodah Zarah. We understand this to Pshuto. So Ramah has such a dream, and Hilchos Birchas HaMazon writes it. But so when the Jews used to travel, the businessmen used to travel on the highways, and used to stay off in Goyish Inn, to sleep there, they didn't need the food there, the food was safe. So they would carry their own food with them. So the shayla was, when they're holding by saying a bracha, washing the tishah dayim, saying a bracha, saying a bichas hamazon, a davening, whatever. But there are more right to think that you're not allowed to daven in a room where there's an avodah zarah that's being worshipped. So Ramah sounds like, because Ramah actually sounds like it's only a midas chasidus or something. So the Bnei Tosfos writes in his text that the Gachan Oth, Mikra did. Since the Tanakh calls it Gilulehem, it's called Golos, it has the same status like prayer. Ah, Chiddush, what do you mean just because it's called Golov? We call it Golov to be Mivazah the Avodah Zarah. It's a din. You have to be Mivazah Avodah Zarah. You have to call it by a ridiculous name. That's what we call, also who is, we call it Yashke. We make fun of the name. We call it, instead of calling it Christmas, we call it Brachma and so on. It's not that we decided on our own. It's saying in the terms that we have to make fun of their religion. The law says in Sanhedrin, if you're not permitted to be cynical about anything, call it Tzimusa Asira Ba'amid the Tzimusa the Avodah Zarah. You're only permitted to be cynical about Avodah Zarah. Why? So, my Rabbein used to say,
Because when it comes to Avodah Zarah, the Jews should realize that you can't talk about it with a straight face. There's something, you talk about this sheep or that sheep or another sheep, and you say, yeah, this religion, that religion, how can you talk about Avodah Zarah with a straight face? Not Mikan Lehiyom there. Talk about it. You have to talk about it in a cynical fashion. It's not a mixed legal out of your way to make fun of it. A Jew shouldn't be able to speak about a Dovah Shalom Avodah Zarah with a straight face. That's to make fun of it. That's a dignity term. It's a dignity. More points out than the Pasuk in the Vorim. You have to be Mishan Hashem, Mechan Hashem, Leginar of the Avodah Zarah. So the Pashtus is that that's why the Tanakh says Avodah Zarah is Gilu Lehem. Not because it's called Golo, but has it been like Sarah that you're not permitted to God and that you're going to say a Mera Glass on it? Has it been like Sarah? What kind of a marshal is that? What is he driving at? So maybe the pshat is like this. The reason is given here today, and when the Sheikh checks the game, he says a bracha. He says a bracha on Kisi Adam, says a bracha on Ashtita. So the Dati Yitzhuva, the Mumkacher, quotes from Achaim, Rabbavid with Akasha, that often when you go to the slaughterhouses, it smells terrible there. There's an awful odor because of all of the blood that's all around there. So how can you say a bracha for such a bad odor? The Gemara says that when the soil, you're not permitted to daven within Dalai Lama's end of the soil. And even if you walk away, if there's a reach ra in the soil, you're still not permitted to daven. So whenever there's reach ra, you're not allowed to daven. So how can you daven if there's reach ra? So the person said, La Locha, there are two kinds of reach ra. If you have a reach ra from a chemical, it has a natural reach ra. That's the reach of that chemical. There are a lot of things when you take chemistry, so if you mix certain chemicals, it has a terrible, terrible odor. I don't remember what it was. I think chemistry, there was always a terrible sulfur. Oh. So it has a terrible odor. So whatever naturally has a terrible odor, that's not a problem. That doesn't pose a problem as far as saying a bracha, as far as davening, as far as learning. It's only if you have food, that the person ate food, and the food originally was good, and then it was yiftah, the hibish, the hisriya, and then it converted into tzoa, or it doesn't even have to convert into tzoa. If a person vomits, and tea also has, vomit also has a terrible odor. But it also has the same thing as tzoa. Why? Because it's something that originated as decently smelling food. And now, because it decayed, something happened to it and it changed its state, that reach-ra is not allowed to daven kenegdo. Or let's say you left some food out of the refrigerator for a long time, and it's spoiled. You leave it long enough, even in the refrigerator, it's going to spoil. It includes vegetables, meat, fish, and it has a terrible odor. So that has the same thing as soya and tea, that you're not permitted to daven whenever you can disturb this reach-ra. But if you have a reach-ra that's a natural reach-ra, that's okay. So what do you say then? What do you say to soya and merag life? That something was hifted, the hibish, with his sriya. So that's probably what the Berkhi Shadecha is driving at. That if you have a Dovah Shel Avodah Zarah, it started off as being Mikra Bahamua. Then when the Nochri is Eved Avodah Zarah, then it's like Hifsi to Hiddish Rehisriya. He spoiled it. He made it rot. He ruined it. He made it into a Dovah that's also Bahamua. It's like taking food, leaving it out of the refrigerator for a long time till it decays, until it has a dead odor. So you know, here it doesn't have a dead odor. Let's say you have soil that doesn't have a dead odor. So you have to be still Mashiach Dalaram. If it still has a dead odor, you have to Dalaram, then you're still not allowed to daven. But if it doesn't have a dead odor, just the thing itself, you're not allowed to daven itself around. So Dovah Shel Avodah Zarah doesn't have a reach ra, but still it's a Dovah. It used to be normal, and then it became hipstered to Hisriya, because they worshipped it, and it became Mashiach Bahamah. So that's the Shiloh. What does the Avodah Zarah over there? The Avodah Zarah, the Chorah was the Behemoth. And the Gemara says that the Behemoth don't become Mashiach Bahamah. The Gemara says, I'm a Shtachel of Behemothoi. Boy, I saw all the hedges. Only I saw all the Gavoya. And everybody is also like Gavoya, even though it's a Behemoth. Only Pasol like Gavoya, but it's new from the hedges. He's going to say, because it's Pasol like Gavoya, that's also called Hitzki. Let's say you have some fruits or vegetables, and they're a little bit spoiled. So you say, if it's so spoiled that it has a dead odor, so you're not allowed to daven kol makom shiyesh sham reach ra from this dead odor. If the thing is a little bit spoiled, you already can't, already has a din of tea and soy, has to daven to hitsu shiyesh le damna. What about over here? That's because the behemoth are psulos la korban. The behemoth in Mitzrayim, that with Nevad, amutal lehagid, it's only possible by the voice. That's called the Gilu Lehem, the Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't daven. That's the problem over here. That's why I saw Rabbi Shmuel Shulman writes in his sefer over here. He's bothered with that problem. So he wants to learn shot in the Medrash that the year was Malaya Yilulim in Kipshuto. It doesn't mean it was full of other deserves. So there's no garbage collection out there. So it's full of Torah. But that's not usually the way it's taken. Usually we understand that Medrash that Rashi quotes, Kipshuto Yisrael, the Ephesus Kappa, that Malaya Yilulim means it was Malaya Yilulim in Kipshuto. He could say that he's a Midas Hasidus. He didn't want to balance in every other deserve. But if you say like the death to Kedech, it's really Al-Pidin. Because it's a double shit, hipster, the hitzviyah, so that's a shadow. What kind of a hipster, the hitzviyah is this? The thing is only also like a voya. So that's already cool. The hitzviyah. The slight tircha. Also, also by now. A good point. Probably not. Probably not. I don't know. Ephes is Kappai. How did Moshe Rabbeinu daven? Ephes is Kappai. The priest is Kappai. You find it. Shlomo Malach also daven different places in Tanakh. People daven, they lift their hands up, and they daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like this. And today there are quotes on Shulchan Aruch from the Achronim. Akasha, why didn't the Chachamim, when they're on the second Tzimbo, why were they the second we should keep our feet together? You don't even find that in Tanakh. Find them Adochim, different things. Why were they the second we should daven the priest is Kappai? Everybody daven like that. I should make a great on later generation when the second Tzibor. Why weren't they mistaken the priest of Kapan? So he gives different answers. A lot of the Achrayim give an answer because this was later adopted by the Yomdei Avodah Zarah. Kneeling also. Kneeling was a common practice. So that's why the Shtach of a Jew now, we wouldn't think of it because the Christians kneel. I was never in a church, but that's the way they say, no? They kneel and they pray and stuff. So that's why today we don't allow anyone to kneel and to daven, even in the day of the time, all the Jews did it. Because today it smacks from practice of Avodah Zarah. So that's where today we approach an Achrayim, the same is true regarding priests and Kappayim. Since over the generations, the Goyim had adopted this form of praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we have neglected it. The Vilna Gaon points out in his commentary on the beginning of Yishayim, the first from Kapecha, Ma'alamein, and Mekan, and Gethin, Gomim, Aleihu, was speaking about two things, speaking about Tziva, and speaking about Duchanim. The most is that Tzvon Shalish Ma'nefesh, where Yisos, Kappo, and Amar Duchan, because of that part of the first from Kapecha. He points out there are two types of pieces Kappayim. When the Tzvon and Duchan, so they hold their hands like this, with the palms down. When the people daven, they daven with their hands like this, with the palms up, and he explains why. He gives Alpi Moshel, I'll be marshal for the first Mishnah in Masechus Shabbos. We have the balabais he's giving to the Oni. So the Oni wants a handout, so he holds his hand like this and he should give him some money. The balabais has the money, so he's giving like this. So the one is giving, holds his hand like this to give. And the one is receiving, holds his hand like this to receive. So he says, well, he's got him in Kaddish Baruch Hu, he asks him, so he should give you something. So hold your hands out like this, so he should give you. He's going to hold like this, he's going to fall down, hold like this. The Quranim are giving a brach, so they're the ones who are giving. Represent as if, as if they're giving a bracha. They're not. We have bracha, but the Baruch Hu gives a bracha. The Kohanim have to hold it in such a direction, in such a position, as if they're giving a bracha. So I'm still saying, so you hold like this. That's what they do on the ground right in this commentary in the beginning of Yishayim. That's awesome. Rambam is bothered with the kashya, the pasuk says that Chazik Hashem is Lei Paro, and that's why he did all of these averes. So why was he, that's why he kept on Yachad as Libra, and that's why he refused to let the Jews go free. So why is he punished if his clear chavshis was suspended? Why should he be punished? It doesn't make any sense. The Rambam gives a teretz. The Rambam gives a teretz both in Hilchos Tshuva. I'm talking about clear chavshis and the Shemayna Prokhim. The Hamilam is a clear teretz, it's called the Shemayna Prokhim. Should be it. It's printed in a separate volume with the Kudus, with the Yud. They have a long arichas on this. The Indian of Maniyah Satshuva, this Kasha and this Teretz that the Rambam quotes is a Medrash on this Pasuk. The Medrash quotes, we can't find a meaning in this. We couldn't find it against the Rambam. So what's going on here? If we're a clear chavshis is suspended, so how can we be punished for whatever we do? We didn't do it out of our own free will. So the Medrash quotes, Rav Yechon and Medrash quotes, with Shlokish, and the Shlokish gives the Rambam the answer. The Rambam got a straight from the Medrash. And today said this. So the Shlokish answer is that there's a concept of Maniyas HaTshuva. sometimes a person did aveiros, and the Baruch Hashem wants to punish him so much that he wants it to be clear. The Baruch Hashem knows what aveiros is. A guy looks like a big tzaddik. We don't know that he did any aveiros, but he really, at home, he goes a lot of aveiros. The Baruch Hashem is going to punish him. People are going to wonder, what do the guy deserve that he should be punished? Tzaddik or Allah? So the Baruch Hashem will suspend his clear chavshus and force him to do aveiros in public, which he will not be self, which he will not be punished for, because he has no clear chavshus. But then everybody will see such a terrible guy. They won't, the Hamoinam won't know. And he was forced into doing this. And look to them. How can you tell whether a person's clear chavshus was suspended or not? So everybody will see, oh, this guy's a big rusher. So then they'll understand why he's being punished. And I'll leave it down is why is he punished later on at the end for the aveiros that he did previously, not for these aveiros that he's doing now. These aveiros don't count. That's what the Yamama, because the concept of the Nias HaTshuva, sometimes a person does so many sins that a Kaddish Baruch Hu suspends his Kriya Chavshus and he doesn't even give him the opportunity to do Tshuva. If he went through Tshuva. That's what the story by Tara was. Not that he was punished because of the fact that he refused to give in to Satan and himself to. The Kriya Chavshus was suspended. He was punished for the aveiros that he had previously done. And other Rishonim gave other answers on this Kasha. The Zalevi has a famous comment that comes from Rishonim. Many of them are Mephoshim on the Chumash Hadar. I think even Ezra, the Ramban, the Shpon, and many others are through Mephoshim Hadar. But Yachar Hashem is very Kairo, it doesn't mean that he suspended his Bechir Chavshus. If a person is under pressure, so he's going to give in to that God, even if he doesn't hold like that God. So over here, Kairo is really a mean, evil, wicked individual. He would really want to keep an Israel slaves forever and ever, not to let them go free. But if they've done some giving him one matter after the other, so despite the fact that I'd like to be mean to them, but I'm no blame, I don't want to suffer all this. But the Yachar Hashem is very powerful. Kadosh Baruch Hu just didn't suspend his Kriya Chavshus. He gave him the Kerechot HaNefesh not to succumb to this outside pressure and to be able to make a decision on his own. That it should be a shikul, that he should be able to have equilibrium. He shouldn't feel forced into anything. Once he had the freedom to decide whatever he wanted. So he decided again to do bit. So each time Paro refused to let the name go free, that was out of his own clear function. He wasn't forced into that. The Russian Bayakhtar and Sleeper is the opposite of Miho Isha Yori Zarachalevo. So what do you mean Yori Zarachalevo? Shemi Yochalamad Bikishmi Amochomo. So the guy sees war, so he starts to collapse. He doesn't have the clear function, he doesn't have the courage to fight. So COVID late is the opposite of Rachalevo. So that means that despite the outside pressures, he's still going to do his thing whatever he wants. What's the, he'll be done. He wants to be there. It's not, that's why the Beis HaLevi has all the Yichas of the Rishonim. A lot of Rishonim has that. But it doesn't mean at all that his Bechir HaChavshus was suspended. Some may point out that one of the times that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the reason why he's making all of these luciferous laws, Man Tapishmi B'chal Haaretz, Man Tikapa B'yazim B'chal Ben Sedim Chai Yisra Shere Salaf and Yitzan. On one occasion the Lashon is written, the man reversed Mofsa B'yazim and Son. There should be a lot of Mofsim. There should be a lot of Mofsim. So instead of throwing the right, this is a tradition. The reverse Mofsa B'yazim is a Rashi Tevis of Rambam. So the fact that the Rambam lived in Egypt and wrote all of this poem, that was reverse Mofsa B'yazim and Son. Shikosh HaMikos is going to the Ethemachic. But as a reference to the fact that there's going to be a Rambam who's going to live in Egypt and accomplish so much in Torah and Yiras HaMayim, that's a lot of strength. The problem here that the Mephoshim talk about, what is Moshe Rabbeinu request of Paro? That he should let the name Israel take a few day vacation and bring Korbanos and then come back, and then they double course and then they make Kidama. So the Rachaim HaKadosh talks about that in Chumash. Why did the Baruch Hashem choose to bring about the Kriyas Mitzrayim in such a fashion that they should fool Paro? Because the Baruch Hashem is going to force Paro to let the Nezor go free anyway. He said, let the Nezor go free, period. Why yes, for vacation? It wasn't so hard, let him take a vacation, bring Korbanos. It sounds like they're going to go free. That's the Rachaim HaKadosh has some kind of a mahalach on this. Why did Rav Shem want to doubt that he should be in such a... He should fool him, he should trick him. Others say pshat in the pasuk differently. Others say that he's learned the Gemara in Dittin, that... If the rabbi is menech tefillin li'avdo, yotzeh l'cheiros. The person says, why? Not that you can eat this and never collect sin, but the practice was manatanai was that Avraham never was killing something. Adam, put on till and on his other tonight. This is an indication, this is a clear indication, that he has, it's like Adam's Babin, Kamein and Dam, it's Adam's Babin, that he has already set him free, or he's setting him free now. But this is a practice that was never done, that the Adam should put till and on the other. Yeah, Avraham never was him. So some explain that the same is true here. That in the archaeologists discovered some of the old laws of the religion of Egypt that they had in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu at this time. That one of the laws that they have in there on their books is that if a slave is ever allowed by his master to worship any religion, the slaves are never allowed to worship any religion. If the slave will ever be allowed to worship any religion, that's an indication that the master is letting him free. So when Moshe Rabbeinu asked some power, let us take a vacation and worship God, it's just another way of saying, let us go free, period. It's a Lashon HaKiyah. Instead of saying, let us go free, he says, let us worship the church, the religion of our church. And the neighbor, that means to go free. It was a Professor Klutz, kind of what we used to teach Tanakh in the college. That was his real name. Professor Klutz. It was before my time. But he published a whole essay about this years ago. Not in there. We didn't have a Renat Yitzchok. I think it was before the Beis Yitzchok was born. They had something else. Korev or Emma Ravi or one of the other publications that they had. He printed a whole essay in Hebrew about this, explaining that he thinks that that's the collection. Well, Shlosham Le'er Ba'midbar is about when Hashem Rokeinu. It doesn't mean that in 3 days we're going to come back. That is a Lashon HaKiyah. That is a way of saying that we're going to leave and go. Next week, I'd like to continue with that case. I don't think I'll be able to say the Shia on Sunday morning. I think I'm going to be out of town. I'm not sure, but I think so. So, the Lunetta on Monday, we suffered. I won't expect everybody to come. But I don't think I'll be. So, the Lunetta on Monday morning, we'll continue with the cases. Actually, I've been with Shmon. And then have a day, and then we'll go to the next mission. Go to the morning.
Why not? What's the problem? The problem is, all the behemoths in the world were possible. Before, there was no Mizbeach. And not only does it didn't beach with its law, if the tzul was in the Gufa Krovim, the Krovim had a move, the Krovim had a tzul in the Krovim, even an extraneous tzul in one thing. The tzul is in the Bailam of the tzul, is in the Gresh in Israel. There's some scientific reason why you can't be mockers in. All the animals that are alive today, you couldn't be mockers on the Mizbeach, even if there wouldn't have been a Mizbeach. You couldn't be mocked because there was none. There is no Mizbeach now. So she might declare that even after you build a Mizbeach, you can't be mocked with these carbunners. So Tracy says, the Dina Bichli certainly doesn't apply in Behemoth school. The Dina Bichli only says here that the Behemoth has already Dushas carbon. Before it gets a Dushas carbon, you can't apply to Dina Bichli. Now the question is, but if it had Dushas pair, so it has Dushas Abuchma Mizbeach, but it didn't have a Dushas carbon yet. Until we actually do the shoot of Marseille, in the office, I find cases that the Marseille gets back in the cut. Chef the Bain gets a Dusha. Well, he told him to get the Dusha. And then he has a Dusha, the Mishnah says, and tell us something else about something. The Bain in the Old gets the Dusha that goes from his death and tells him, he says, what is the loss of the Mishnah that Dakin is the Kaddish? That the Shuk is the Kaddish. He says, no. And he'll tell us on Mishnah, right? Is Dakin is the Kaddish, means the first Avoida, is he the first Avoida endows the Bain with a higher level of Dusha, the higher Dusha spoke. And that's the Machloikas Satanoni. And there are days in the whole like one time, and we don't pass my left time. That's Machloek Rabban on Perch Shnei Siri, at the end of Yuma, whether Balei Chayim is often or not, because it's full of Zichui, and even though the carbon was Yitzal, the Chazal HaHechshel, or the secret that's full of Zichui, but I still declare that the carbon is possibly on a voice. That's full of Zichui, don't say it in Yishuhunga. Called one of the heads of school and a dozen seconds. So that's the Machloek Rabban on, what degree of Kedusha do you require that it should be able to be subject to Zichui? If Kedusha, look long as death is enough, I need that to do this carbon. So the Bechon holds even Balei Chayim on his own. We don't pass him. The Rambam doesn't pass him. I'm passing like the other Tanoim, but ain't Balei Chayim on his own. So the Bechon, so that's how we understand that passage. That the Yitzim in Atlau is Mumbai there. That by Mumbai there is Chodim HaShem, I think you know about it's true or not. Why is Mumbai there in Atlau? So we say not because Mumbai there is Yitzim in Atlau. Because Mumbai there happened while the animal was still alive before he did the Shechita. So it didn't have a full Kedushas Kodim, it had Kedushas Kodim on his hand. But, and it means Mumbai there, but who has it not? We know Balei Chayim. So we understand, that's what they are. Now, the other father of the Talmud says, no, only Mumayra is the exception to the rule. Any other soul in the world will say that Horob is Chalidon. But the other has two cases of a Chiddush, of Bali Chaimidon. He says, what if the person ate Chalidon to Shogun, and then becomes a Mumalava Lizor? Kolman is a Mumalava Lizor, it's a Dinaka Akum, so you're not committed to be Matha Dinaka Bar. That's the one, the first person, Kulim, more than that, other than Ken. He asked the Kolman Hashem, what is it in Mikan? Then he said, Leo, Mikan, Kolakuchen, how can you come Mumma? So he didn't have Mumma, Dinaka Akum, there's a Dinaka right there, the Gabi Kolman. Maybe only with the Rabban, the Gabi Shkitzer, that's the Makwaitu, the Shabbat, the Shabbat, the Shabbat, the Shabbat, the Shabbat, the Shabbat, the Jew, the Mumma, the Dizor, Kal Shabbat, the Shem, the Mumma, the Shabbat. There's some Shkitzer. There's some Shkitzer, so we have Kal Shabbat there. On the Yelon, on the news that they sell on Yelon, they said the discussion about Yelon, whatever, some of the Shkitzer is done by Kal Shabbat. So they did it. You call Shabbos the best, you need a doctor. Call Shabbos the best, it's not being a doctor. The only question is how reliable can it be? That's the question. But then, so the more happens in, that if he's going to call Shabbos the best, you need a doctor, then she talks in the veil. So that's not like you're going to have to bring the right to the Rabban. But this is a sure thing, the right, this is a perfect. He can't have a kuchen, well, it's a moment that he can't bring the court. Even though a goy may bring a court. A real goy may bring a court. So the Gemara says, so what's going on? I say, a mumra, even ka'akul, that he can't bring the cover. But an akul zomba can bring the cover. He can bring the cover to the Beit HaMikdash for Agah, and that's the Hebrew Yashu. But even for Agah, he wants from the Father also. Also, the Son and Holy Ghost also, but now he's bringing the cover to the Father, not to the Son, not to the Holy Ghost. But if he brings him to the Beit HaMikdash, we'll accept the Sakh Mamash HaGoy. So if a Mamash HaGoy can accept, why can't you accept from a Jew who's been a Kigoy? The Gemara says, no, that's the Pasuk. Vachem chalak sin levu misoyla. A Jew who's been a Kigoy, And then he becomes a mumla ben yizor. After he was mafish the chaz, after he was mafish the chaz, he becomes a mumla ben yizor. So there's a din, zerach hashoyim te'ev. Zerach hashoyim te'ev. Zerach hashoyim te'ev is a part of the Dibbe Kapolah. What is that part of? Yikam Kuchi is 800. That's not the real mokam of the part of the Dibbe Kapolah. Yikam Kuchi is 800. Zerach hashoyim te'ev is initially Tev Kapolah. That's not, you don't have to see a real, bring the right number of that from the Rima Ksuba. Even though later he's going to be true, that's what they're coming in, they're probably going to be Yidor. And we don't talk to him like that. So I am Mishpat right. He gives you a scene in the Rambam, by Islam says, so you look in the Rambam, of course, I should have been here. I should have said Mishpat. And he's talking about the Chaim, I'm not the door. Because he's not the host. Because this is their quote from the Hebrew. That's a historical article. Because he's from the early other quote from the Hebrew. So the Hebrew is commenting on the Rambam that, not on some stage. So the Ramapas is against the Kerr. Abirchen has two men. In one case, he talks about Hamer Zotza, he became a Mumla, but the other case is Achal Chelet Hittish Kot and Dinish Tasha. He became a Chelet Shetzer Kot, a Kot and Kempi Kot. They needed a Chelet Hittish Kot. So the thing is that all Korbana have to be Kore on behalf of a Bardad. How do you know? Rashi quotes. In Kulman Dapay, the person says, Yaakov also the Sona. The Sona means you have to be up by God. That's the Koya, the Daito. The Taisa points out, what if a person sends the carbon to the Beit HaMikdash and he goes to sleep and he's sleeping at the time of the Makadu of course? So he, the person is a bar God, even though he's not able to express his doubts at the time that he's sleeping. As long as the person is a bar God, he's already expressed his doubts earlier. So he wants the carbon to be carbon. So we say that he's considered a bar God, and the carbon is carbon, he's not his. That's a very good point, that. But over here, when person in the Gabra Mavadas becomes a Mishpatet, or becomes a Cherish, so then the carbon is considered possible at that time, temporarily possible. So even if later on, he's caused on a Mishpatet, he returns back to a state of normalcy, Rabbi Yechon has a finish, which we don't pass, and that we say, maybe he's a Gibalakai. In Moray, why do Rabbi Yechon have to write, why do we have to say the finish in both cases?